This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we're going to be looking at our history. And, this is the bicentennial year for Murfreesboro and so much surrounding history. Whether it's the bicentennial or not, everybody always loves history. But the topic today is going to be a fascinating one. Historical photographer Bill Shacklett is with us and Rutherford County archivist John Lodell. And they're going to share with us some of the challenges they've faced in matching old photographs to sort of replicate them in today's time. That was then, and this is now, then and now. That's a neat approach. Bill, I guess, were a lot of those old photographs from your dad?
Right. The genesis of this project were looking when we had made a contribution to the Rutherford County Archives. And John, after looking at some of these images, realized that, there were some significant changes that had taken place in our community, that we wanted to document them. And then this proposal for the book came along. And so we took Dad's images, and John together kind of selected the images that were most appropriate of those things that that were prominent in our community and areas that had changed. And then we tried to duplicate those images in current-day images.
John, was this a bigger project than you had anticipated?
Oh, yeah.
They always are, aren't they?
Yeah, it was about a six-month project, but we had no idea how much research time would go into it. Mm-hmm. And then I think we probably underestimated how much time it's going to take to go out and actually take the now pictures, because we had to go find these places. And some are, right on the square, but some were out in the countryside, and pictures are, 100 years ago, 75 years ago, and we weren't sure exactly where those places were anymore.
So what was your biggest difficulty? Was there one particular shot that was hardest to figure out, where is this?
Well, I think probably the hardest image was probably one John took. We have areas of Old Jefferson that actually were underwater. So, John, you might want to tell about that story.
There's a side story, a couple side stories. One of them is I was in a kayak on a Saturday in August, 2 hours paddling out to try to find where a Jefferson Springs Bridge used to be up, which would be now kind of northeast of town of Smyrna. So that was an interesting adventure just to try to find somewhere. And, of course, I'm out in the water trying to take pictures in a kayak in August.
That's a challenge in itself.
It was.
At least it was warm weather.
But Bill had to go up in an airplane, so that's a story in itself also.
Some of the images, I think, that showed the most dramatic changes are the aerials that we had. And I don't know that, from the ground we realize how the area has changed. But when you get up and look at an aerial, trying to duplicate an aerial that was taken, 40 years ago or more, and then when you see how we have grown as a community, and even the major thoroughfares have changed, those were some of the landmarks that we looked for, were major thoroughfares that were recorded back then, and even they have multiple lanes, and the directions of them sometimes have changed, and some, like Medical Center Parkway, wasn't even there, and of course Old Fort wasn't even there in some of these images. So if you want to see some dramatic change, you go up in an aerial. But we did have a case where I was supposed to photograph one particular area, and we'd finished, it was about 2 hours of shooting aerials, and the pilot that was flying me, we landed, and all of a sudden it hit me that I'd forgotten one, so we did kind of a touch and go. We went down and then went right back up. He said, "That's okay, Bill, we'll go back up." So we took back off again and flew this aerial to get this last image, because when we got in the plane, I had the duplicate images, the copies of the images that we were trying to duplicate, in the back, and I had set them back with my camera, and sure enough, when we started to take off, everything blew around
Oh no!
I couldn't get to my images to see, so I had to do it from memory. And this old brain is not able to recall things like it used to. So I had forgotten one of the images when we landed. So it was kind of fun to get back up and see it again. But we got pretty much it. And it's hard to duplicate the exact altitude and the angle that these images are. But you can certainly see the perspective and how it's changed.
Is the book available yet, or will it be available by Christmas?
We wish it was. That was one of the things that we were hoping for, but it, you know, it's a long process, and we're talking about February. Is it 20?
February 27th. It'll be released Monday, February 27th.
It's one of those things you can give a...
There you go.
This has been ordered for you.
There you go. Yeah, you could give it. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, we'll have, you know, once the book is actually out, we'll have several opportunities for people to get a chance to see it and...
What is the oldest photograph? How far back does it date?
I would say 1880s. We have some great courthouse pictures from the 1880s. And actually, now we got some in there from right after the Civil War, Right. Actually.
These images were either images that Dad, through the years, one of the things that's been kind of neat how our collection has kind of come together is that people were bringing images to this to Dad and Mom to restore. And so we've got copies of those, and often when it was a historically significant image, what we would do is make a copy for free for someone if they would let us have a copy of it as well. And so we got duplicate some of these images that we have or may not be the original images, but they're images that we've done restoration on or that we've collected over the years.
I've got to mention something because it's such a neat thing that you did. The other day when the city kicked off its bicentennial, right, you presented Mayor Tommy Bragg with was it granite or marble?
It is... Now all of a sudden I can't think of it.
Something
I think it's
hard.
Granite. Yeah, it's granite. It's stone, and it's an etching of that image that we did. We did a kind of a collage of the images that we had of the City Hall over the years, and it was funny that when we started thinking about kicking off the bicentennial, this has been a couple of months ago, I guess, that we originally thought of this idea. And then we had a supplier that came to us with this idea, and I thought, you know, this is just perfect for this collage of images of the courthouse, because I don't think people really realize that, you know, the courthouse as it exists, those people that are new to our community realize that probably the Broad Street location of the courthouse, or City Hall, they'd probably remember that. I remember growing up with that Broad Street location. In fact, mm-hmm. My grandmother had an office there in that building in the fireplace
now.
Was it fire? Yeah, where the fire department is now. But that was City Hall, and council met there all of my growing up years. But the other location was on East Main Street, where First Tennessee Bank was, or in that case, prior to being, it was a Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And then it was
City, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was Cumberland Presbyterian Church. In fact, my grandmother started working there. That's where her office, the Council for Social Services, which mm-hmm. was a kind of city welfare office, was in the basement of that building in the City Hall. And other city departments were in that building as well. But, in fact, that image that we have is grandmother is sitting outside talking to someone on the steps there. Grandmother's in that image, which is kind of neat to have that there, too. But then the other image is the original image that we have of City Hall was done, and the fire department was in there too, was behind the old Goldstein's building, or county planning offices now, and election commission office in that corner there. Was the City Hall at one time. It was a beautiful building. In fact, I was looking at an image that doesn't happen to be in this book that's looking from the courthouse kind of south, that would be southeast, from the courthouse, and mm-hmm. it's got a beautiful. You see this stately building in the back, which is the City Hall.
Now, is that the one that sometimes maybe I've mistaken for the fire hall?
It's the same building.
Same building. Okay.
In fact,
beautiful
on,
building.
Yeah, on that building in stone, I guess it says City Hall, doesn't it? Have you seen?
Yeah.
That is a gorgeous. That's one of those buildings when you see that, you think, boy, I wish that was still here.
Yeah, it's all that gingerbread and all that's mm-hmm. on the building. Pretty striking.
And so how many city halls have we had? Is that
we've got recorded with four images that mm-hmm. were on that. And then we took the bicentennial logo and put it in the center of it. And yeah.
That was what a tremendous gift to give to the mayor.
Well, we know it's something, like I say, that'll be here a long time, and I hope everybody appreciates it. We've had several people call us and would like duplicates of that, and certainly you can come to the studio and we'll talk about getting mm-hmm. you a copy of it.
That's just another one of the neat ways to preserve the history of the community, and people, especially those who've lived here all their lives and their families have been here, that's one of those treasures that you need to get, just like this book is one of those treasures, because it documents pictorially the history of the community.
You know, we are so fortunate, and I've got to give credit where credit is due. We are so fortunate, not only we have someone, John is such a passionate person, not only knowledgeable in his field and competent to do the research that was done for this book, but he has a passion for this community that I'm afraid some of us that have been here all our lives don't have. And because of his work at the archives and his work, you know, in this community, we are sustaining those images and that record of our community's heritage. And quite honestly, somebody asked me the other day, "Well, how do you begin to write a book? How do you get a book together?" And I said, "Well, you find somebody that's really competent and really smart, and has a passion for it, and then you put your name on there with it." And that's what we did, because John is really the heart and soul of this book. You know, he's labored tirelessly to get this book out and to put it together. And the nuts of this book, the real skeleton of this book, is his passion for the history of this community and to have it in a sustaining vehicle like this book.
Let's look at some other areas of the book. The Old Dixie Highway, that's a mm-hmm. popular thing. And when you look at the Old Dixie Highway, it's still pretty much intact, thank goodness, unlike Route 66, another popular thoroughfare that is rapidly becoming just a memory. But I think there's some efforts now to preserve the Old Dixie Highway. And is that pictured in this book?
Yes, we did include some pictures of the Dixie Highway. Of course, Lisa at Lombard Library just released her book this week, also through the same publisher, Arcadia Press, specifically on postcards of the Dixie Highway. But I don't think any pictorial history book of Rutherford County and Murfreesboro is complete without at least one or two. So, of course, mm-hmm. we got our two in there.
And you know, for some reason, when I think of the Dixie Highway, I think of Red Rose Dairies. Which was right there on the corner. Dixie Highway went on up, all through that area up to the square and sort of went around. We didn't have the interstate back then, and it was a unique way to, I guess everybody wanted to get people through the square to get out on the Manchester Highway.
Just like they do now. People like myself, small business, wants people to, you know, traffic to go right in front of your business, and that makes it an opportunity to sell somebody something.
And, yeah.
And it's kind of neat when you look at some of these aerials, you can kind of see how the road was directed through town, and I don't know that we really realized that, as it kind of took a right angle mm-hmm. past the square and then right in front of James K. Polk Hotel and all going out Woodbury Highway. So you kind of see that in the aerials.
And that's interesting to watch that and see how things change and yet the philosophy doesn't change.
Not at all.
So and you can look at that history as well. What about the old mills? There was a time where we had many, many mills on creeks and rivers here in the area. Gradually they've disappeared. I think we're down to possibly just one now. That'd be an interesting before and after. If you had the early Reedyville mm-hmm. mill picture and put it with the new Reedyville mill picture, they might look the same.
I mean, they probably would. Now, we didn't include the Reedyville Mill in the book, but we have three other mills. Uh-huh. We have the one at Walter Hill, actually in its transition. The early pictures in its transition when it goes from a mill to the powering electricity. And, of course, a noun picture to match that. But we also have the Halls Hill Mill that no longer exists out in the Halls Hill community, and the Ransom Mill, which is right over here where the Greenway is today.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't remember those, but I guess they started falling in, what was it, the 70s and 80s? That general, and Brown's Mill, we thought right. that was going to be here, and the city right. had been out and checked it out and said right. stable. And thank goodness I'd taken my kids out 6 months or so before it, and we looked at it and, you know, just marveled at it. And then it fell.
Well, you know, the mills in this area, and of course, hard for us to realize, but were the original industry of this area, and it really set the stage for commerce and for prosperity for communities to have that, and it said something about the community when there were a lot of mills in that area, because it meant that the stability of the commerce was there, and basically in the ability for people to grind their grain.
Mm-hmm. And mills did so much in addition to grinding the grain.
Sure.
They turned saws,
sure,
like the old Tilford Mill,
right
out
mm-hmm.
there in Reedyville, mm-hmm. right next to the Reedyville Mill, I guess, really. Mm-hmm. That was the power. The water power turned a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And then, John, you mentioned the one in Walter Hill, which I guess was our first source of electricity. We were one of the forerunners, Murfreesboro was, in having electricity in the South.
That's right, early 1900s. And what's fascinating about that is in the research we discovered, and of course research had been done before on Walter Hill because it's a staple in our community, everybody knows about it. But in doing research, we realized that when they started producing electricity out of that mill in the early 1900s, they had this huge cable going to the town of Murfreesboro. So Murfreesboro had electricity, but nobody between the dam and Murfreesboro had electricity. So it was kind of an interesting feature that they didn't do little offshoot lines to start lighting up the rural areas until well later. So,
and when you look back not too many years, you thought, Walter Hill, that's really out in the country.
Right. Even in my lifetime, I remember it being out there. Yeah, right.
In fact, I can remember when I was in college, I had one of my roommates was taking some courses at the Murfreesboro Airport, and we would go out there with him occasionally, and I'd think, why'd they put the airport so far out here in the country?
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, it was a day trip for us. I mean, we would go out to Walter Hill because they had go-kart races out at Walter Hill, and of course it was almost like going to the beach to go to Walter Hill. In fact, that was one of the interesting pictures that we did duplicate when I got out to the side. It was a pic out to Walter Hill. We were looking at a picture that I was trying to duplicate the angle. Had mm-hmm. to climb up on some rocks and to try to find exactly where it was. And the only sustaining place was, of course, the mill. I mean, the dam area. And we got pretty close, I think, as far as the angle that Dad had photographed. But when Dad did his picture, there were people fishing there and people swimming. It's a lot. You can see that there was a lot of activity in that area. And now it's not quite what it used to be, but there's still people that use that as for a recreational area. But it was a big-time picnic and recreation and, like I said, people getting out in the creek and going down on the beach when I was growing up. A lot of things happening at Walter Hill.
I can remember on one of the radio shows, some people called in and said they remembered Walter Hill as having a big park, almost a carnival atmosphere, mm-hmm. with rides and with ponies and food and all sorts of things. Sounded like almost on a regular basis. Wonder when that was.
Well, they did have go-kart races out there. I remember that because some of my friends in elementary school had ran cars out there, and I never got a chance to, but boy, that was something I sure wanted to do, get in the go-kart and ride in the go-kart races that were at Walter Hill, because that was an exciting thing to go watch. But I know they did that. I don't remember a whole lot of other things.
I think this was long before.
May have been before.
You know,
that,
before your time.
Yeah. Well, you know how young I am, Bart.
That's right. 29. We're going to pause for just a moment, check on the traffic and weather. We will be back. And in the next segment, we're going to open up the phone lines. Maybe some of you have some of these memories of, say, Walter Hill. Do you remember doing some things out at Walter Hill? No, not that. It was also a place for parking.
Oh, yes. Yes. Not that I ever participated.
No, we just have heard about that. We're going to be talking about some of these things. Do you remember being involved up on the square in some of the earlier days? We're going to check on the traffic and weather, and we'll be right back. Stay with us, won't you?
Now, FM 100.5 has more power. It's louder, so you can listen longer. We're covering Rutherford County better than ever. We're WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Need a new car?
Why not a truck? How about a Ford F-150 from Ford of Murfreesboro? Right now, Ford is offering up to $6,000 in rebates on F-150s. or 0% financing for up to 60 months for those who qualify. Head to Ford of Murfreesboro and test drive the latest Ford F-150.
$6,000 in rebates or 0% financing for up to 60 months for those who qualify.
Ford of Murfreesboro, on Broad at Northfield. FordofMurfreesboro.com.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I do feel that I have been given the greatest gift. They have been over backwards to help me.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not.
For the older people that have family members that are struggling with this, please understand, you only have to call this number.
Family Staffing Solutions, 848-6774, online at familystaffing.com.
Play it again, sports!
25 to 50% off. A new shipment of scratch and dent fitness equipment is in at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane. Exercise bikes, ellipticals, treadmills, and more. 25 to 50% off. Save now before the deals are gone.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning, Rutherford County. As you make your way into work, guys, happy to report still no accidents out there along your interstates or along your secondaries. Things moving a little bit slower along I-24 in the Murfreesboro area, but really nothing that's going to hold you up for very long. You shouldn't have any problems getting into the downtown area. However, guys, be advised, starting at 8 o'clock along Old Fort Parkway between Case Lane and Northwest Broad Street, we will have some lane closures as crews work on paving and stripping Old Fort Parkway between Case Lane and Northwest Broad Street. Learn to fly with the best. Nashville Flight Training will help make that dream a reality. Give them a call, 366-9192, or go online at NashvilleFlightTraining.com. With the WGNS Traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Thank you, John. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
We'll have scattered rain showers across the forecast area. Cloudy skies, a high temperature near 50. We'll have a west-northwest wind between 10 and 15, gusting in the 20s. I'm meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 45.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
You don't hear those other radio guys talking about Murfreesboro?
We'll be back to the countdown in just a minute.
The only place you'll hear good neighbor talk is WGNS Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 893-1450, and the line is open now. If you have some memories you'd like to share with us, give us a call, 893-1450, 893-1450. Bill Shacklett and John Lodel are with us. They're telling us about this new book that's going to be coming out very soon in February. That was then, and this is now. Is that the right title?
Mm-hmm.
Are we close? Okay.
Yeah, Murfreesboro, Then and Now.
Then and Now. Okay. Mm-hmm. We've looked at Walter Hill Dam. In fact, I have a photograph right now, two photographs of the dam, back when it was powering electricity for Murfreesboro. What was it, 1800s or early 1800s?
Early 1900s.
Early
1900s. That's when it was powering electricity. The mill dates early 1800s, I'm sure.
So it started as a grist mill or flour mill, something like that?
Exactly.
And then somebody said, well, let's harness that water and make electricity. And in that photograph, there's a pretty good-sized building behind that small building that is still out there. And in that bigger building, is there anything left of the bigger building?
No.
No. Okay. Just a memory. And your photograph.
And the photograph.
Speaking, and that's a neat photograph. Tell me about some of the other... You came across some really rare old photographs. What were some of those that caught your attention the most?
Yeah, we did find some rare ones in there that, you know, people probably have never seen before. We have one. We found one that was, after much research, we finally figured out it was the construction of campus school. Around 1929, 1930, I believe. And it was just... The building wasn't even finished yet. The walls were up, but didn't have any doors or windows in, and you can see this construction equipment. Of course, it's all, you know, very old construction equipment. So with a lot of diligent research, we finally were able to kind of pin the architecture in the location to campus school. Another on the school topics, we had a picture of McFadden School when it actually burned in 1939. McFadden actually had several fires in the 1930s after being constructed about 1929. And but we saw this one picture of a school burning, and of course there is a famous picture of a school burning in this town of Central High School. And when we first saw it, we're like, oh, it's another picture of Central High School. And as we looked at it a little closer, I was like, wait a minute, that building's not Central High School, it's another school burning. And with a little research and asking around, we finally figured out it's McFadden School. What's fascinating is even after the school burned, they rebuilt it to the exact same dimensions and style. So we were able to take the old picture out to today's McFadden School over there on Bridge Avenue and look at the two and say, yeah, it's the same building. Thank goodness it's the same building.
So they were they trying to preserve history or were they trying to save money?
Probably a little of both. I mean, you got to think that's the Great Depression.
Oh, I can tell you what they were trying to do.
You've been there.
Oh, yes. They were trying to save money.
Now, was that in, that wasn't in the city, was it?
At that point in time, no.
And that was probably considered...
Well,
on
you know,
out.
At that point in time, McFadden would have been a city school.
Yeah, it was barely within the city, but you had the whole area of Westview over there, which was, you know, annexed into the city.
Yeah.
Because I remember Edwin Ayers... telling me at one point when he decided to move the funeral home to where it is now, people said, what are you thinking about?
Way out in the country.
That's out in the country, yeah.
It's
hard to think that would even be considered in the country.
Yeah.
But then I've heard tales, and John, you probably can document this. People have said that out where Oakland's mansion is, that was the country.
That was the country. I mean, especially in the 1800s when Dr. Manny, you know, lived there, he had that plantation and then a house in this quote unquote in the city. So, and that house in the city was a couple blocks off the square. So, you know, he'd come to town for a little while and then go live out in the country.
He could almost walk to the two.
Oh, yeah.
Because I guess walking
would have been a big walk.
How would it be? It wouldn't be any bigger than it is now.
Well, except for the fact that you're not walking along sidewalks.
That's right. I hadn't thought about that. It might be thick brush, and you'd have to work your way through the undergrowth.
Well, you know, I remember grandmother talking about having gone to Woodbury to see my granddaddy, and that was like going to what, you know, a huge trip.
Mm-hmm.
Would be to go to Woodbury. You know, that was when Granddaddy was from Woodbury, and to go meet his parents as a child, as a young woman, and you know, that was a long trip to Woodbury, and you had to plan, and you know, you were going to be there for days because it was a
lunch.
Oh well, more than that. I mean, you were going to be there for several days. You didn't just go up there for the afternoon. I mean, it was a trip.
There.
It was a trip.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Doing fine, Bart.
Good.
McFadden, that was probably the third building in 39, because it burnt twice after the original building was built. But that was probably the third building that she's talking about. And McFadden has never been a city school. It's always been a county school.
Did you go there? Did you go to school there?
Yeah, this is Jim Avery.
Hey, Jim. Good to hear you.
Yeah, I went through all 8 grades at McFadden.
So that has...
I never did eat a meal in the McFadden cafeteria, because back then, if you live close enough, you could go home for lunch.
Home for lunch, yeah.
So
yeah.
I walked home for lunch every day, and rain or shine. But I wouldn't dare let one of mine at my age, that was be my age back then, go now, walk across the street by himself, because all this...
Times have changed.
Snatch these children, but that's interesting. I just got in the car. I'm over here at the Wellness Center going to the torture chamber.
Now, Jim.
Keep it up.
That's right.
You're doing good, Jim.
But anyway, I just happened to hear y'all talking. Bill, I want to get a copy of that book. That sounds real good and real interesting.
You would give us some great insight into those pictures. I tell you, those are kind of resources in our community that we just... They're another treasure, and Jim is one of those treasures in our community that have a memory. It's not firsthand history, and that's wonderful to be able to have that and that kind of resource to be able to look at.
I may ask to borrow some pictures from you. I'm writing a book about Westview.
There you go. Oh, are you really? Wonderful.
Yeah.
You're the one to do it. You'd be the one to do it.
I'm Westview, the community.
Wonderful.
And then, of course, all the churches and the school and everything will be in it. But I'm writing, it's going to be about the community, not about the church.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
all right, I'll just let you go. I got to get in here and get on the rack.
All right, buddy.
Have fun, Jim.
See y'all later.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Oh, boy. He really works out well, and he has turned his life around. This guy
is
phenomenal.
He's a remarkable role model for a lot of folks. He
absolutely
sure is.
893-1450 is our phone number, 893-1450. If you have a thought you'd like to share with us, give us a call, 893-1450. We're talking about this new book, Then and Now, Murfreesboro Then and Now, and photographs that were a long time ago, and Bill and John have come along and gotten the exact shot as it is today. And your dad took a lot of aerial shots, and you came. I had the feeling when you made that last statement you didn't like flying in small airplanes.
Oh, I better start liking it. I've been doing it for a long enough time. No, it is. I enjoy it. I've had several wonderful pilots that have flown me, and I've had one pilot one time. In fact, we were flying back from a flight, and he took his hands off the controls, you know, and said, well, first he told me to put my feet here and my hands here. Then he took his hands off the control and said, you got it. You know, and I thought, wait a minute, I paid you to do this. That was the last time I really had any inclination that I was confirmed that I did not want to have to fly and take pictures at the same time. But there are people that do that. I've got friends of mine that take that fly the plane and take pictures at the same time. But I guess I'm not, I can't focus enough. I've got to be able to have my mind on one thing. It really is a good process to be able to see things, because when you get up in the air and you really get a chance to see the community in a different light and a different perspective. If you haven't, I know the airport every once in a while has some specials where people can go fly, and I would recommend when our children were little, we went out there and let the kids get up and see our community from the air. It's really a great thing to see your community from a different perspective when you're flying around it, and particularly if you have that opportunity, take advantage of it, because it really does change things and gives you a different perspective on your community.
Aerial pictures of Murfreesboro, of MTSU, the whole area, that gives you a whole new feeling of what things looked like. And I guess there were two people. When I think of those photographs, I think of two people. I think of your dad, mm-hmm. and I think of Beeler Smotherman.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them seemed to have a passion for doing that. And thanks to both of them for preserving some of the history. Let's look at some of the other really rare photographs. John, what are some of the other ones that you came across? Because John is the historian in charge of the Rutherford County Archives, and when there's something that impresses you, it's really historical.
I guess you got a point there. We wanted to try to find things that hadn't been published in the other recent picture books. Mm-hmm. Arcadia Press has done 4, 5, or 6 in the past several years. Wonderful books for this community, but we wanted to find things that were different, especially the Shackets collection, promoting that collection that's now at the County Archives, to bring out the pictures that people hadn't seen in all the other books. So we really honed in on some really early shots, some different shots of the courthouse. We found some pictures of the Jefferson community, long forgotten about up there on the Forks of Stones River, kind of, I guess, east of Smyrna now. So we had some pictures of that that were taken in the 1930s and 40s, the bridge that led across the Forks of the River to the town. We got a picture of that in there. And, of course, Jefferson Springs, right north of the town of Jefferson, is long forgotten about, but was a huge resort town. That was the one I had to take the two-hour kayak trip to get in August, but it was well worth the trip today so we could include the then picture of it. So things like that really popped out to us. Sometimes we found we kept talking about the city halls,
right,
that have been here, but we found some that people have probably never, pictures of those places people have probably never seen before. We've seen the old, the first city hall and other books on the corner of Vine and Church Street right over here, but we found one that hadn't been in every other book. We had a great one. The second city hall up on East Main Street, which was the old church building converted to the city hall, was there for, I don't know, probably 20, if not 30 years, mm-hmm. Before they moved. But we found a picture on the day that the city auctioned it. when they decided to sell it and actually went to auction. And so Mr. Shacklett must have jumped out in the street with his camera and snapped a picture of all the people congregating in front of the building as the auctioneer's standing up there getting ready to auction it off. So,
when was that?
You're going to have to ask me exact dates, aren't you?
Oh, just approximately.
I believe it was in 1957.
57, okay.
Yes. Of course, all the dates are accurate in the book, but I can't flip through all the pages right this second. And they're not in my head.
We also, John, included Smyrna, which I think, you know, some of the shots that we did down at Smyrna with the... Well, you can tell them about that, too.
We want the title of the book is Murfreesboro Then and Now, but one of our selling points in the book was it's four different chapters, and one of the chapters we really wanted to reach out beyond the city, even today's city limits of Murfreesboro, and include Rutherford County as well. So we included important things like the Sam Davis home, the old Christiana train depot. Of course, Jefferson, we were just talking about the town of Smyrna, several things in the town of Smyrna, because that place has changed tremendously, like everything else in Rutherford County, over the past 10, 15 years. So we snagged some Dixie Highway pictures. A lot of people have seen the Dixie Highway pictures from Murfreesboro, but not as many up in Smyrna. So we grabbed some of those and threw them in there. And we grabbed right down there in downtown Smyrna, around Front Street and Lowry Street in downtown Smyrna, some things that people probably hadn't seen in a while.
Did you get any of the Squirrel Lodge over on the old Nashville Highway?
No, we didn't get the Squirrel Lodge. We got a place called Fat Gamble's Garage, though.
Okay.
And in doing research, I wish somebody would call in about this. I haven't asked my Smyrna historians yet, but we found this picture of this gas station on the highway, and it said Fat Gamble's Garage on it. And it dated from probably late 40s. And trying to do research, we couldn't find it. We finally figured out it's today where Enon Springs hits Old Nashville Highway, if you know that part of Smyrna, up there on the little hill there, close to Hilltop. And in doing research, I found a Fat Gamble when he was a kid at Jefferson School. He was 4 years old or 5 years old in kindergarten. His name on the book is Fat Gamble.
Interesting.
So, I'm sure that's a nickname, but that's at least what they called him in school. So I wish somebody would call in on Fat Gamble. Let me know who he was.
Yeah, somebody out there have some information on Fat Gamble over in the Smyrna area.
Well, I think that's one thing. You know, that everybody says a picture's worth a thousand words, and hopefully these pictures will generate lots of thousands of words in the community as people look over them and give a detailed history about what this is. And we'd ask you to get that to John if you have additional information on once you see the book and you see these pictures and you have an opportunity to talk about this, process it with family members, particularly people like Jim and the folks in our community that have firsthand knowledge of these places and these things that happened. Additional background stories really help to weave that story of our community, and it really enhances the texture of our community, and to know things about those little stories about our community, and we value those like Beeler Smotherman and my dad that took pictures in the past, but Gloria and I go out to elementary schools and schools in our community, and I'm sure John has done this as well. You know, each of us really are historians. Each of us have an obligation to record that history that we're living today. It's not something that happened. History isn't just something that happened many, many years ago. It's something that's happening right before us. And we have an obligation, a responsibility to those future generations to record it, to make it accessible to the future generations. And the better we do that, then the better those people will know where we have come from, because, eventually there'll be a tricentennial.
Right, there will be.
And there'll be people looking back at, well, now remember back at the bicentennial when they did this. And some of the history that we're capturing and restoring and we're holding on to now will be even that much more valuable. I remember when Mom and Dad used to talk about family history and I was young, and I didn't care anything about it. We would sit on the back porch of grandmother's, every Sunday afternoon with family members and hear stories about our family, and I remember being bored to tears. But if I could spend one afternoon, I can't imagine a gift that would be more precious for me now to spend an afternoon with those family members on that back porch listening to those family stories. So it's so important for us to hold on to see our responsibility in history. And each of us have that, whether it's our family's history or our community's history, each of us has some responsibility there.
And as you were talking about, the two of you were talking about recreating that picture in Old Jefferson, what came to mind was Mayor Tommy Bragg's speech the other day at the bicentennial celebration, where he was saying Old Jefferson was a going community. It had businesses, it had people, and there was a movement here to try to get a more central location for our county seat. And you know, if there had not been that movement, Old Jefferson could be the population hub for Rutherford County, and Murfreesboro would be just a little train stop. But it's interesting how just a few people can make a massive difference.
Well, history turns on a dime sometimes, and even, you know, the difference between Murfreesboro being the state capital.
Oh, boy, can you imagine what that would be like?
This could be Nashville, and I'm glad it's Murfreesboro.
You know,
but
I am
too.
We are better off this way. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, we wanted to borrow. I don't ever talk about the old Anderson Hotel. All those country boys come to town for that. So we just hang up and listen and see if it's in the book.
All righty. Do you all know where the Anderson Hotel was, first of all, before you hang up?
Most definitely. I know where it is, and we have pictures of it. I don't think we got them in the book.
We didn't put that one in the book.
But it certainly was. I remember Anderson. We've got a beautiful picture. If you haven't seen it, it's in some several different places in the community. It's a picture done at night. Dad shot through the window of Anderson Motel, and people having eaten dinner at the Anderson Motel.
That's out toward Mercury?
It's where there's a CVS store there.
Right there on the corner. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All righty. Thank you for calling. I guess he's gone. Let's go to another line. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today? Lost that one, too. 893-1450. Try again. 893-1450. We are looking back in time as we celebrate our bicentennial and a new book that is about to come out. Stay with us. We will continue in just a moment.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original equipment. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
Weather Eye.
We'll have scattered rain showers across the forecast area, cloudy skies, a high temperature near 50. We'll have a west-northwest wind between 10 and 15, gusting in the 20s. I'm meteorologist Mandy Faluber. Right now, 45.
Maybe you need a new mattress. Well, you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen. Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen-size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
I get a radio that's kind of possessed.
It's coast to coast AM overnight every night.
You have a possessed radio?
Yeah. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Family Staffing Solutions.
Without the caregivers, there would be no way I could have survived this alone. I had gotten to the point where nothing made any difference.
Stay independent at home.
Being old is not a punishment. It's a very significant phase of life.
Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
Check out all the options you have before you make a decision.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
How many tears can you cry till the longing's over? And how many tears can you cry till you want someone new? That's the question I'm still unable to answer. Cause I can't stop my love for you.
Welcome back. 893-1450 is our phone number, and I understand that the proceeds from this book are going to a very worthy cause.
Yes, Bart. We You know, there's certainly been lots of work that's gone into this by John to put this book together.
Both of us.
John really has done the yeoman's work on this, on the putting the book together. But the proceeds from our book, and this was established before we actually even started the work on the book, was the proceeds from this book is going to Read to Succeed, which is a literacy program here in our community, and it certainly does a variety of not just working with family literacy, but also working with adult literacy, and it's a great program in this community. So all of the proceeds are going to Read to Succeed.
Fantastic. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Bill Shacklett and John Lodal. How are you today? Hello there. Good morning. Go ahead. Did you have a comment to make today? We hear you in there. I hear your radio in the background, so I know you're there. You're on the air. Do you have a comment? Hello there. Okay. 893-1450. I think they didn't realize they were on the air.
They were on the air, yeah.
893-1450. If you have a question or a comment to make, dial quickly because we only have about 3 minutes left in the broadcast this morning. And once again, this book will be available when?
February 27th, which is a Monday. Okay. So it'll be in the spring. But yeah. If anybody wants to see any of the Shacklett's collection photographs, they can come to the Rutherford County Archives over on Rice Street. Not too many people know where Rice Street is, but we're right beside Hancock's Fabric, and everybody knows that place.
There you go.
But we're there Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:00. And one of our happy goals with all this project is to be able to preserve these Shacklett's photographs. We're talking somewhere in the ballpark of 30,000 negatives.
Wow.
That Mr. Shacklett collected in his lifetime, or took in his lifetime also. And we're now being able to scan those and make them available to the public. So you're welcome to come see us and see some of these images.
Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
Good morning, Bart.
Good morning.
It's Fain Haynes.
Well, hey, Fain, good morning to you.
Yes, sir. I may not go back as far as some of the people, but, Bart, I'm very interested in building a museum in Muppetsboro, a large museum.
We need one.
And I'd like to donate. I have a small museum and like to donate it to a large museum. And I was thinking about the old hospital where it was tore down. Where they're tearing it down now, that would be the greatest place for a museum in Muppetsboro.
A museum
would be one of the greatest tourist attractions that Muppetsboro could possibly have. And I'd like to see somebody take a hold on that and develop something like that.
Well, you know, you just planted a seed, so maybe it will grow. Like a lot of other things that you've planted, and they have grown and helped our community. Mr. Fain Haynes, thank you very much for calling. I tell you, he's another one of those leaders.
He's a resource of our community, a great resource for history in our community, and not
very
just
definitely.
In our community. But
now, let me ask, we've got about a minute and a half left in the broadcast. John, when you moved out of the little room up in the top of the courthouse to where you are.
Little.
did you ever think you would fill that place? Did you? And you're out of space now, aren't you?
We're out of space, but we're working on a growing space, so it's not a problem. But we had no idea that it would fill as quick as we did. But of course, our main job is to keep all the records of county government back to 1804. So we have wonderful historical resources for this community in the documents, and now we have the images of Shacklett's collection, so we can really do it all, I believe. So please come visit us if you're at all interested in local history or genealogy in this community. Please come visit us.
Great resource there. And if you have some old photographs yourself that include, I mean, the old photographs of the area, that's history. Can they bring them by your place to be copied?
Yes, we're working on a project to actually try to scan other images other than the Shacklett's collection. So if you have old pictures of this community, please bring by the archive so we can see them. We don't want to keep yours, but we would be interested in scanning them as a digital repository for people can research them, and you can take your originals home. But please come by and share those with us.
Once again, I really thank both of you for preserving the history and keeping those memories alive, because that's what all of us need to be able to look back and remember the way things were 50, 100, 200 years ago, right here in the heart of Tennessee. Bill Shacklett and John Lodal visiting with us this morning. Thank you again.
Thank you, Bart.
Thanks,
Bart. Have a super day.